Hong Kong has been successful precisely because of its openness, and we'll do everything we can to maintain that.
The top American official in Hong Kong states Washington's position on China's new national security law on the city. This is Tuesday, July 7th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, China also has some strong words toward Britain's attitude toward Hong Kongers hoping to leave and head to the UK. The U.S. and Britain are not the only countries drawing the ire of Beijing. COVID-19 is said by many to be out of control in parts of the United States. It is all on today's VOA Asia. The top American diplomat in Hong Kong says it's a tragedy to use the semi-autonomous Chinese territory's new national security law to chip away at fundamental freedoms in the Asian financial hub and create an atmosphere of coercion and self-censorship. The U.S. Consul General to Hong Kong and Macau, Hanscom Smith, told reporters that the U.S. will do everything it can to maintain that.
Well, I think that using the national security law to erode fundamental freedoms and to create an atmosphere of coercion and self-censorship is a tragedy for Hong Kong. Hong Kong has been successful precisely because of its openness, and we'll do everything we can to maintain that.
China last weekend implemented a tough new national security law for Hong Kong that outlaws secessionists, subversive, and terrorist activity. Critics see it as Beijing's boldest step yet to erase the legal firewall between the former British colony and the mainland's authoritarian Communist Party system. The law, imposed last week following anti-government protest in Hong Kong last year, makes secessionist, subversive, or terrorist activities illegal, as well as foreign intervention in the city's internal affairs. Any person taking part in activities such as shouting slogans or holding up banners and flags calling for the city's independence is violating the law regardless of whether violence is used. Critics see it as Beijing's boldest step yet to erase the legal firewall between the former British colony and the mainland's authoritarian Communist Party system. Since the law went into effect, the government has also specified that popular protest slogan, "Liberate Hong Kong, Revolution of Our Time," has separatist connotations and is thus criminalized. In Hong Kong's public libraries, books by pro-democracy figures have been pulled from the shelves, including those authored by prominent pro-democracy activist Joshua Wong and politician Tanya Chan. Wong spoke on Monday after his latest court appearance on a charge which predates the new law.
With the risk of our personal safety, with the threat of life sentencing, we might be worried and also being targeted by Beijing. But we also encourage the global community to let our voice be heard in the world. Once we still have any possibility, we still hope to let the world to know that now is the time to stand with Hong Kong, and now is the time for Hong Kongers to keep our momentum.
Wong was standing alongside pro-democracy activists Agnes Chow and Ivan Lam, who also appeared in court Monday over charges related to a protest last June. Chow pleaded guilty to inciting others to participate in an unlawful assembly. Wong, who was indicted on similar charges, pleaded not guilty. Lam, who was charged with inciting others to participate in an unlawful assembly, also pleaded not guilty. All three were released on bail. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Authorities in Australia are shutting down the border between that country's two most popular states due to a spike in COVID-19 cases in the city of Melbourne. Economists and industry insiders predict a slow rebound for Thailand's all-important tourism sector. Friends of Chinese law professor Xu Shangrun, who has written essays critical of President Xi Jinping's governance, has reportedly been detained in Beijing. Tokyo voters rewarded Governor Yuriko Koike for her handling of the coronavirus outbreak by re-electing her to a second term Sunday. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. China's ambassador to the United Kingdom accused the UK government Monday of making irresponsible remarks on Hong Kong affairs as he addressed concerns surrounding the new national security law in Hong Kong. The UK has expressed concerns over the law, calling it a flagrant breach of China's international obligations and a clear and serious violation of the Sino-British Joint Declaration. In an online press conference, Liu Xiaoming said the UK government was making unwarranted accusations over the law.
China has never interfered in the internal affairs of other countries, including the UK. And we hope the UK will also abide by this principle. The UK side knows well that Hong Kong is no longer under its colonial rule, and that Hong Kong has returned to China and is now part of China.
He criticized the UK's plans to extend the residency rights for Hong Kong nationals eligible for the British National Overseas Passport.
These moves constitute a gross interference in China's internal affairs and openly trample on the basic norms governing international relations. The Chinese side has lodged solemn representation to the UK side to express its grave concern and the strong opposition. I want to emphasize that Hong Kong is a part of China. Hong Kong affairs are China's internal affairs and brook no external interference.
Xiaoming warned that attempts to disrupt the implementation of the national security law would be met with strong opposition from 1.4 billion Chinese people.
No one should underestimate the firm determination of China to safeguard its sovereignty, security, and development interests. Attempts to disrupt or obstruct the implementation of the national security law for Hong Kong SAR will be met with the strong opposition of 1.4 billion Chinese people.
All of these attempts are doomed to failure, he said. We appreciate you being with us on VOA Asia. Australia is considering offering safe haven visas to Hong Kong residents following China's imposition of sweeping national security laws. Australia has said it's disturbed by the developments in Hong Kong and has received a request from Great Britain to share the burden if there's a widespread exodus from the territory. The moves have been strongly criticized by China. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Britain has asked Australia and its other Five Eyes Alliance partners, Canada, New Zealand and the US, to help if people are forced to leave Hong Kong. The UK says it would offer asylum. Hong Kong residents fearing political persecution can already apply for protection under Australia's existing humanitarian programme. Several government lawmakers in Canberra have been fiercely opposed to Beijing's crackdown on Hong Kong protesters. Prime Minister Scott Morrison says new resettlement plans are being drafted.
We are considering very actively, and there are proposals that I asked to be brought forward several weeks ago, and the final touches are being put on those, and they'll soon be considered by Cabinet to provide similar opportunities. And we think that's important and very consistent with who we are as a people.
In 2015, Australia granted emergency visas to 12,000 people fleeing the conflict in Syria. Bin Lin, a professor of Chinese law at the University of Sydney, wants a similar move to help Hong Kong.
The Australian measure obviously would show international solidarity with Hong Kong people, and it would be helpful to provide some support for the people in Hong Kong, and I think overall it would be good.
Beijing has criticised Australia for interfering in its internal affairs. China's new security law for Hong Kong makes it easier to punish protesters and reduces the city's autonomy. There is a penalty of life imprisonment for the crimes of secession, terrorism and collusion with foreign forces. A Chinese embassy spokesperson in Canberra said the laws would benefit Hong Kong. Creating a special resettlement scheme for asylum seekers from Hong Kong would further inflame tensions between Australia and China, its biggest trading partner. Australia's vocal demand for an international inquiry into the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic, which first emerged in the city of Wuhan, has antagonised China. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Happening now in Asia, Pakistan has rolled out its first ever locally produced ventilators for deployment at hospitals treating coronavirus patients as the national tally of COVID-19 infections rises to nearly 232,000 there. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. The United States continues to experience dramatic increases in COVID-19 infection numbers. The U.S. state of Florida saw 11,458 new cases on July 4th, a single-day record. As VOA's Kane Farabaugh reports, mayors and cities dealing with crowded hospitals and exploding infection rates are raising the alarm about the lack of concern among the population to curb the spread of the coronavirus.
Pubs in Britain welcomed customers for the first time after months of lockdown due to the coronavirus. But in the U.S., the mayor of Phoenix in the state of Arizona says businesses in her city opened too early.
We had crowded nightclubs handing out free champagne, no masks. Our 20 to 44-year-olds, which is my own demographic, really led the explosion, and we've seen such growth in that area. We're seeing a lot of people go to large family gatherings and infect their family members. We are in a crisis related to testing.
Francis Suarez, the mayor of Miami, Florida, is also dealing with a surge of new COVID-19 cases in his city.
But there's no doubt that the fact that when we reopened, people started socializing as if the virus didn't exist.
The concerns come as the United States celebrated the July 4th Independence Day, which saw long lines of cars waiting to get to beaches in some areas and crowds gathering to watch fireworks in others, including the National Mall in Washington, D.C., where President Trump spoke, downplaying the threat of the coronavirus, which has killed nearly 130,000 Americans.
But now we have tested almost 40 million people. By so doing, we show cases, 99% of which are totally harmless.
The president also addressed the urgency of finding a vaccine.
We are unleashing our nation's scientific brilliance, and we'll likely have a therapeutic and/or vaccine solution long before the end of the year.
But the administrator of the Food and Drug Administration, Stephen Hahn, distanced his agency from that commitment.
I can't predict when a vaccine will be available, and I just want to tell you about FDA's role in this. Yes, we are seeing unprecedented speed for the development of a vaccine.
Hahn also emphasized measures that can curb the spread of the coronavirus before a vaccine is available.
This is a very rapidly moving epidemic, a rapidly moving pandemic, and any death, any case is tragic. And we want to do everything we can to prevent that. What I would say to the American people is follow the guidance of the CDC, follow the protocols of the local and state governments, wear a mask if you can't socially distance, or if the local procedure is to wear a mask at all times, socially distant, hand sanitation, and protect the vulnerable. That's how we're going to get out of this.
To date, the United States has recorded about 2.8 million cases of COVID-19 and is currently the country with the highest number of infections and deaths in the world. Kane Farabaugh, VOA News.
While China appears to have reduced coronavirus cases to near zero, other infectious threats remain, with authorities announcing a suspected bubonic plague case in Inner Mongolia. Associated Press correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
Authorities raised the plague warning on Sunday, ordering residents not to hunt certain species of wild animals and to send for treatment anyone with fever or showing other possible signs of infection. Bubonic plague can be fatal in up to 90% of people infected if not treated, primarily with several types of antibiotics. Pneumonic plague can develop too from bubonic plague and results in a severe lung infection, causing shortness of breath, headache and coughing. China had largely eradicated the plague with the last major outbreak in 2009. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. With VOA Asia, also follow radio program hosts VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. India and China have begun disengaging their troops in the Galwan Valley in eastern Ladakh, where there was a deadly clash last month. Military sources tell an Indian newspaper the process of disengagement has commenced in Galwan. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia, Twitter, and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. I'm Ira Melman. On June 30th, three Myanmar military officers were found guilty by a court-martial investigating atrocities against Rohingya Muslims in the conflict-ridden Rakhine State. Human Rights Watch calls the convictions an ongoing effort by the government to evade meaningful accountability. VOA Steve Miller spoke with Human Rights Watch Deputy Director for Asia, Phil Robertson, via Skype in Khon Kaen, Thailand, to learn more.
The reason that it doesn't quite make sense when you first look at it. You say, okay, well, geez, they did try three people. But there's no information about who was tried, what the charges were, who the witnesses were, what these people are alleged to have done. The massacre we're talking about here is one of the worst that occurred during the crimes against humanity and ethnic cleansing that took place during the Burmese military's clearance operations against the Rohingya in 2017. And to, you know, have three unspecified soldiers court-martialed, we don't even know if they were sentenced to anything. What you have is really an effort by the Myanmar military to say, hey, look, see, we held some people responsible. But really, these are scapegoats. These are low-level people. And even with those cases, there's no transparency about what actually happens. There was a previous case that Reuters reported on. This was the famous Indian case where a number of soldiers killed 10 Rohingya prisoners. Mm-hmm. And those people were court-martialed in a similar procedure behind closed doors, no information. And they were later pardoned 7 months later by the army commander. And it took several months for everybody to figure out that actually they had been let out of prison. Those people who were involved in killing those 10 men actually spent less time in prison than the two Reuters journalists who reported on the story and were framed for an official Secrets Act arrest.
So what needs to happen in terms of holding individuals accountable, in your opinion?
Well, the Burmese military has shown time and time again that it is incapable of investigating itself. It has no real political commitment to do so. And what we get time and time again is a whitewash, even in cases where they do say they court-martial people. There needs to be some sort of independent and partial investigation that is allowed access to these areas to conduct a full investigation and assess accountability and hold people accountable. The problem is that the Myanmar government will not allow anybody into these areas. The UN Special Rapporteur, the previous one, Yang He Li, was not able to even enter the country. And the fact-finding mission that was established by the United Nations to look into these things, of course, was also denied access to the country. There's no real political commitment from the Myanmar side to hold anybody accountable. They want these horrible massacres, which some people claim constitute genocide, to largely be crimes where no one is ever brought to book.
Phil Robertson is the Human Rights Watch Deputy Director for Asia. He spoke to VOA's Steve Miller. Myanmar currently faces charges of genocide at the United Nations top court over the 2017 crackdown against the Rohingya. Some 750,000 Rohingya fled to neighboring Bangladesh with accounts of widespread murder, rape, and arson.
How dangerous is COVID-19? 80% of the cases are said to be mild. Young and healthy people are at a relatively low risk. Elderly and people with serious health conditions are at risk of fatality. If you have a cough, fever, and shortness of breath, contact a doctor and stay away from other people. For more information, visit the websites at the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
We continue on VOA Asia. Teleworking during COVID-19 can be a lonely business. Online work meetings and conferences can leave workers feeling isolated and glum. Enter GoToMeeting, which brings people face-to-face with a goat, cow, sheep, or llama, each staring at you with soulful eyes. VOA's Penelope Pulo explains why these animals are attending online meetings.
During the pandemic, Hoover the goat has become a welcome surprise at teleconferences.
Hi, Hoover!
When he came into Sweet Farm, he did not trust humans. He was in really poor health.
Before the coronavirus pandemic, Hoover and the other animals greeted visitors in person at Sweet Farm, a California animal sanctuary.
When COVID-19 happened, we had to rethink how we were continuing to execute on our education approaches.
Once the virus struck, founders of Sweet Farm, Nate Saulpeter and his wife, Ann Sweet, could no longer give farm tours, which accounted for almost 70% of their revenue. So they came up with the idea to send their animal ambassadors into people's homes, virtually. The initiative is called GoToMeeting. For about $100, a Sweet Farm animal will attend your online conference. It's a sweet escape for people stuck at home in front of their computer screens. For a brief moment, they are transported to open fields with sweet animals. The funds from GoToMeeting go to rehabilitate these rescues.
They come from a variety of situations, everything from factory farms, live markets, animal abuse, neglect, shut down rooster fighting operations.
Rescue is part of Sweet Farm's mission. During go-to meetings, Nate Saulpeter also shows how to buy or grow food locally, how to cook sustainably in a way that is better for the environment. His foundation helps bring awareness on the dangers of global meat industries and wet markets.
After Sweet Farm made this possibility, I decided that would be a really good thing to help bring a little bit of joy to our team meetings, as well as to support an issue that was near and dear to the hearts of many of the people on our team.
Elaine Turville, a government consultant, surprised her colleagues by bringing the farm animals online.
Along the bottom, I could see everybody's video, and I could hear kids in the background going, "Mom, look at that goat, or look at that cow." It was awesome. So you had all these people who had been stuck inside, mainly in urban areas, who had only seen their family and were sort of like craving this interaction to be able to see the animals. It was amazing. We received so many positive comments about how people felt, how it made them feel more connected to each other, because then they could talk about the animals.
We're happy that we can share it with people. It puts smiles on people's faces. They can get out, stretch their own wings, even if it's through a video screen. Learn some things, ask their questions. It's so, so important that, you know, people recognize that we're all in this together. That can't be stated enough, especially at a time like this.
Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter, at VOA Asia. And you can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Popaboon, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Have a wonderful day, and please stay safe.